Hello, you're listening to the podcast of the Walking Women event at Somerset House. Over the week of the 11th to the 17th of July 2016, the Walking Artist Network held the Walking Women Week of Events. It culminated in a weekend of screenings, talks and walks with over 40 artists presenting their work. This podcast will showcase what took place on Sunday the 17th.
Yeah, welcome you all. How lovely to see so many people come early on a Sunday morning for Dee's marvellous walk. Welcome to Walking Women on Sunday the 17th. Before you take part in the Walking Library with Dee Hedden, I thought I would just say, take you through what is on offer for you later, when you come back, I hope, to Somerset House. You can take part in Yasmin Sabri's Peace Walk a Mile in Her Veil. You can have a look through the Live Art Development Agency's pop-up study room for the day. Lois has brought all these books, and since you'll be walking with Lois, do take the opportunity to talk with this marvellous woman and font of all live art knowledge. And then you can take part in the Wikipedia sessions to bring more women walking artists or women artists of any kind into Wikipedia, which, as you may or may not know, is edited by 90% men. So if you want to change that ratio of knowledge, please do join in. And for all things Wikipedia, there's many people helping on the Wikipedia desk, but also Blake is font of all technical knowledge, as far as I'm concerned. And then there are three artworks also to choose, other walks that you can take for the rest of the day. There is Claire Hine and Claire Qualman's excerpts from their book Ways to Wander. You take a leaf and a walk that you like and go out into the streets. There's a bus pass for a journey across London's roads, offering you the chance to straddle London faster than you might be able to walk it on routes you don't know so well. Jenny Savage's Guide to Getting Lost, which is a half-hour audio walk available for you all the rest of the day. So that's it from me. Oh, plus the whole programme of talks and films and picture-coochers for the rest of the day in the screening room. But for now, over to Dee.
Thanks.
Have a really
you
good
are
time.
Around and around in the Walking Library. Thank you so much, everyone, who's coming along for the walk today. What we've done is just explain the Walking Library. The Walking Library was initiated in 2012 for a festival that took place in Belgium called Sideways, which was a peripatetic walking festival. And with my colleague Misha Myers, we kept coming across references to 19th century writers who would go on long walks and would carry a book with them. And we thought that was quite fascinating, and we wondered what the question, what book would you take for a walk, would reveal in the 21st century, presuming folks still carry books. Do they still carry books? And we got about 100 suggestions for books for that particular walk. And since then, we've made different walks for different contexts. So they all respond to a particular context, and this context, of course, is women walking women. So the question that we put out this time was, if we were putting together a walking library called Walking Library for Women Walking, what book would you give to a woman who's walking? And this is the donations here. There's about 75 of them now. It will continue to collect books, but it also collects suggestions. So if you think there's something missing from this library that you particularly would like to suggest, when we come back, just leave the suggestion on a card, and it will be added to the catalogue of suggestions. There's a catalogue of donations, but there's also a catalogue of suggestions. And it's a really eclectic range of donations that's been made. So some of them are about women walking, literally. Some of them are about women in the landscape. But others of them are books that have been transformative in the way that the donator thinks about themselves or their place in the world. Everyone who donates a book writes a little thing about why they've chosen that particular book, and they are inside the covers of every book. So there's a sort of a autobiography, bibliography going there. And you'll see the reasons why women have chosen what they've chosen. Mark and someone else yesterday said to me, oh, why have you changed from your black and yellow, which was the first Walking Library, to the, what did you say, Wimbledon colours?
Sorry, it was a project colour.
And that, I think he was being facetious, wasn't he?
I was being facetious.
That I'm only teasing. He knew
you. I've got a black and yellow one.
But Mark's walking with us. Exactly. Mark's walking with us, so you'll get to know Mark's humour as we walk. So they are the suffragette colours, and it's because we found a ticket that was a suffragette walk on the 21st of June of 1908. And so there's a map of the walks that took place for that suffragette gathering in Hyde Park, and the women came from seven different directions of London and all gathered into Hyde Park. So I have this map here. Yesterday we did walk to Hyde Park, but it took 2 hours, so we won't be walking all the way to Hyde Park. And what happens really is, the thing about the walking library is it goes for a walk, and we use the books that are carried with us to share ideas and information just around our place in the world, I guess. So I've asked you all to select a book that we're going to carry, and we will stop as we're walking to share from those books. Okay, thank you very much, everyone. Let's go.
Includes for Second Stride, Lives of the Great Poisoners, and Hotel, previous productions with Max Stafford Clark, Light Shining in Buckinghamshire, Cloud Nine, Top Girls, Serious Money, Ice Cream.
Wow. And she's written many more than that.
This is 97 tour, so.
Wow. So, could you read who donated that?
So, this is donated by Roberta Mock, who's a colleague, a respected colleague of us all. Donated by Rebecca, chosen from my own bookshelves. I wanted to find books by women that could easily be carried. I chose Carol Churchill's Blue Heart because I wanted to find a non-naturalistic performance text, something that needed to be discovered and understood through rhythm. I think it needs the space to work through the text in both head and body. So a combination of reading and walking seemed right. I hope somebody enjoys it.
Well, we will be sure to tell Roberta that we stood under.
We stood under.
Right under Gilbert.
His
two women.
Little handmaidens.
Let's go then. Well, great. Thank you, Ed.
My pleasure, Dee.
It's wonderful. It's
like things one finds en route. Right, so we'll do it. We've got sphinxes. And then
the bare breasts give it away.
No,
it's still
Samuel Plimsoll.
No,
it's the Plimsoll line.
None of them are two women, are they?
None of the women are actual women.
No, they're all.
They're representative.
Yet to come across actual women.
With a man, with a idealised vision.
I don't know if it is actually.
I was thinking of these.
So we're on the river, aren't we? So I thought I should maybe share a river artwork. Now this is a river that's far away. This is the River Deverin, which is in Huntly, in Aberdeenshire. And there's an organisation in Huntley called Deverin Arts, whose logo or motto is "the town is the venue." So they don't actually have an art gallery. The whole town, really, of a town of 4,000 people, is the venue. And Claire Coleman, for those of you who were there yesterday, that's where she made Perambulator. Yeah. So they have an organisation. Whoa. Competition.
You're singing the river.
Singing the river.
Yeah, yeah, that's another
singing the Deverin. So Anne Murray, this artist, made a piece with this musician called Jake Williams that was about the River Deverin, and he made songs to accompany a walk along the River Deverin. And Anne Murray made a lovely, I mean, it's an amazing piece of sort of design. Yes, that it all folds up. But she did a route map, a sort of artist's route map of the River Deverin, following the River Deverin. So you would take this on you, with you now, if you're walking the River Deverin, to follow it. And marking out all the landmarks, but also the songs and some of the historical events. I mean, you can see Jake's songs in there. And so this was walked and sung. So I think it's quite a nice example of how particular artist in that area has thought about the river that runs through her locale and making that. You can see on the back, each day had a different sort of walk attached to it, really. So I thought it would be nice to open that in the Thames and share that. But another donation that I was given was, I haven't read this, but Rachel Carson, who's a popular writer, has written a book called The Sea Around Us. And of course the river will flow into the sea. And this is donated by Laura Bissell. And this is what she says. Rachel Carson quotes Seneca, quote, "Beyond all things is the ocean." And this book makes me think of our place in the world and our relationship to our environment. Carson writes, "If there's poetry in my book about the sea, it's not because I deliberately put it there, but because no one could write truthfully about the sea and leave out the poetry." Very Carson-y. So I'll randomly, I mean that's a bit of a quote anyway, but I'll randomly, because I say I've not read this, The Changing Year. She starts with a quote from Milton, "Thus with the year seasons return. For the sea as a whole, the alternation of day and night, the passage of the seasons, the procession of the years, are lost in its vastness, obliterated in its own changeless eternity. But the surface waters are different. The face of the sea is always changing, crossed by colours, lights and moving shadows, sparkling in the sun, mysterious in the twilight. Its aspects and its moods vary hour by hour. The surface waters move with the tides, stir to the breath of the winds, and rise and fall to the endless, hurrying forms of the waves. Most of all, they change with the advance of the seasons. Spring moves over the temperate lands of our northern hemisphere in a tide of new life, of pushing green shoots and unfolding buds, all its mysteries and meanings symbolised in the northward migration of the birds, the awakening of sluggish amphibian life as the chorus of frogs rises again from the wetlands, the different sound of the wind which stirs the young leaves where a month ago it rattled the bare branches. These things we associate with the land, and it is easy to suppose that at sea there could be no such feeling of advancing spring. But the signs are there, and seen with understanding eye, they bring the same magical sense of awakening." She is a great writer, isn't she? Good, thank you. Shall we walk on to the next statue? Hoping, with a hope in our heart, and well, spring has come, but the next spring will come again. And I read two there, because there was two Sphinx and whoever she is over there. Lovely. She'll walk on.
We are going to get 12. Well timed, Dave. Almost as if you planned it.
I know. I need a footman.
Chiming for women.
Chiming for women.
That's why it's the most chimes. Celebrating Theresa May.
Women leaders in Parliament.
Ah, God, that's so funny. Yeah, that is.
Well done, you.
Yes.
Oh, I think this is Utica. So, folks, this is Utica. And I'm not carrying this book, so this is even more of a pleasure and a privilege. But you are donating it.
I am donating it. I feel slightly self-indulgent because this is my book of poetry. But I agree that
this is a book of poetry. And it's your poem. What's the book of poetry called?
The Art of Walking.
The Art of Walking by Sonia.
And somewhere in here I've got one with a carriage in it.
Come closer, folks. It's sort of obstructing the pavement.
Okay, this is
chosen because it's got a carriage in it.
Yeah, this is called Retreat. Go, do it swiftly, hand at mouth, marvelling. Do not look back. Paper darts will rain at you, each point perfectly folded, the creases sharp, the words within sweetly plosive, seeking. Do not commit the shapes to memory, repeating them silently in the night, testing them on your tongue. Go. Go before the fragile shoes shatter beneath your feet. Hesitate and grind glass fragments with your heels, waltzing the crazed pieces into pebbles. Stop, and you will find yourself kneeling at a grate, picking peas and lentils from ashes, said from unsaid, truth from text. Unhook those tugging barbs, the tender tendrils reaching for your ankles, the slow ambush. Go, believe in the midnight carriage, the wheels carrying you to an absolute ending.
Yes, we shall go. Thank you very much for that. Thank you. Let's have a little look at her from the other angle. So Amy last night thought she'd found... go to see it, but hadn't.
She read on Nike or something at the Hyde Park.
Oh, right. I'm waiting for us to find an actual woman who's been alive.
Oh, right. You mean not the mythical or the... That is true. We haven't found any of them yet.
No. Surely Florence Nightingale. Here we are at Yeah.
So it is 10 past 12 already.
Amazingly.
So, I'm just going to put out some of the things that were brought today.
Oh, we reached our destination.
Well, I think if we've got to get you back,
yeah,
then we probably have. So yeah, we've not got, we've done about one tenth of the actual suffragette march. So, who brought this one? Would you like to just this is kind of your Would you like to select a little bit? Because I think it's really important.
Because Lizzie and I, Lizzie has pointed out the back of this book. it's called Why Loiter, Women and Risk on Mumbai Streets. But on the back it says, imagine our streets full of women, talking, strolling, laughing and gesticulating. Imagine parks and beaches dotted with young women sitting alone. Imagine street corners taken over by older women reflecting on the state of the world. Imagine maidens occupied by women workers planning their next strike for a raise in minimum wage.
Aha!
If one can imagine all of this, one can imagine a radically altered city.
Brilliant. Thank you. And who got Wanderlust?
I chose Wanderlust.
Fantastic.
Very good article by her about hope in the garden.
Yes, it's right. So this is the new Remy Shamaris, who's the co-founder of the Walking Library.
This book is an inspiring walking companion for this woman walker. It's wandering, I can't read her writing, wandering form covers so much ground in the cultural histories of walking and is written by a woman wanderer. And the bit I chose...
Oh yeah, you actually marked them.
Sorry, was a path is a prior interpretation of the best way to traverse a landscape, and to follow a route is to accept an interpretation or to stalk your predecessors on it as scholars and trackers and pilgrims do. To walk the same way is to reiterate something deep. To move through the same space the same way is a means of becoming the same person, thinking the same thoughts. It's a form of spatial theatre, but also spiritual theatre, since one is emulating, I didn't realise I'd get to this bit, saints and gods in the hope of coming closer to them oneself, not just impersonating them for others. It's this that makes pilgrimage, with its emphasis on repetition and imitation, distinct amid all the modes of walking, if in no other way one can resemble a god, one can at least walk like one. And indeed, in the Stations of the Cross, Jesus appears at his most human, stumbling, sweating, suffering three times, and dying in the course of redeeming the fall. But by the time the Stations of the Cross had become a sequence of pictures in any church, anywhere, devotees were tracing a path that was no longer through a place, but through a story. The stations are set up all along the nave of churches so that worshippers can walk themselves into Jerusalem, into the central story of Christianity. Sorry, I didn't mean it to be so...
No, I mean, it's still really insightful, though, anyway.
Sorry. Thank you.
There's the bells, thank you.
Oh, yeah.
So, I brought this one. I haven't read this. There's an artist called Jess Allen, who some of you might know, who's an environmental artist. And her mum died maybe 4 months ago. And this was her mum's book. And Jess's work was all about journeys, quite arduous journeys in some senses. And her mum was not much of a traveller. So this was the one book that they found companionship in when Jess was a teenager. And it's Devla Murphy's 8 Feet in the Andes. And what Jess said was, "This is possibly the only walking exploration book my mother enjoyed or read. And I remember it making a big impression on her when she read it during my teenage years. Rereading the blurb, I can hardly believe Devla accomplished this journey with a 9-year-old daughter. And I was pleased to discover that even the donkey was female." Hurrah! So that's great. I haven't read it, but I'm going to read that one, actually. And we have a meander.
Next time you're very, very close to time, yes?
This book's meanders with the OR. Expect significant. This is meander number 7. This is take a long walk and think about meanders. Make up some more of your own and think of someone to pass on this book to.
Ah.
The end.
That's perfect. That's a perfect ending.
After the walk, there was another series of talks. There isn't time to share them all with you now, but here is a selection of some of the best bits.
Okay, so hello and good morning, everyone. Welcome back to those of you who were here yesterday as well. I'm Claire Qualman, one of the curators of the Walking Women event that's been running all week at Somerset House. So we launched on Monday with 3 walking artworks that have been available within the Treasury space. And then on Wednesday, we had our first walking tour, an intimate tour of breasts by Claire Collison. Fantastic, a walk. And then yesterday we began our kind of full-on program of walks, talks, and screenings. And here we are at the beginning of the second day of that. So I'm really delighted to have you all here. Thank you so much for coming and for your contributions that are making this program so exciting. We have, I think we're going to have 6 presentations in this session. And we're using Petra Kucha format, which is a kind of quick fire presentation format. Hopefully we think it's a really nice way to allow a lot of people to speak and to share their practice and to hear about a lot of different types of work. So I'm just going to hand over, and I think first up we have Una Lee.
I walked quite a bit when I was working on a multi-part project which evolved from the concept of acoustic sound walk. I would prepare a map that would guide the walkers to 10 spots in the city that I considered as sonically and sometimes also visually intriguing. Alongside the map, there would be instructions to carry out specific acts that would lead the walkers to discover certain sonic and visual qualities of each of 10 listening spots.
I'm feeling slightly struck out by these cows coming towards me, and then one starts running. And they're gathering a bit of pace and they start running, and I'm in the middle of the boardwalk, and I don't know whether to go ahead or behind. And the field on either side is flooded, and I'm just going to have to stay on this boardwalk? and then the cows come towards me. And just as they approach, you know, I'm wondering what they're going to do, whether they're going to squash me. And then they all stood on the boardwalk in a long line. And I'm walking along the boardwalk and these cows are behind me. And it's a little bit like playing, you know, grandmother's footsteps. And when I start walking, they go, mmm. And when I turned round, the cows would stop. And I carried on walking. And then eventually these cows walked all along with me along the boardwalk. And then they got off and walked as they were trying to avoid the flooding as well. So that was the time that the cows and I walked along the boardwalk.
Outlander is silent, stoical and solid in the landscape, and yet it hovers above the ground and sways gently in the breeze. It's quite disconcerting at first when working inside. There are all sorts of strange noises and they're sort of tapping on the doors and stuff. In my experience in mountains is that everything is shifting, sliding, moving with every moment. Walking becomes a meditation on the landscape. This is some images of the north face of Glen Nevis. Walking alone and aware of personal safety, I have no desire to head for the peaks. My tendency, a bit like Nan Shepherd of the Living Mountain, is to wander, searching, stopping, looking, and sometimes bizarrely napping and dreaming in protected hollows. I particularly enjoyed Upper Glen Nevis and also the walk to the CCI Hut, North Face, enclosed in magical worlds with incredible glacial landscapes, their easy accessibility, leaving the mind free to think and enough time and space to wander, for the mind to wander and visual material and to gather visual material for paintings realised later in the studio. So basically wandering, looking, gathering material, anything really that catches my eye.
Here's our Orchard Walk series. Consisted of 6 walks in 2014, 10 walks in 2015, and 3 walks in 2016 so far. Two of the walks in Heath 2014 were part of Catherine Bohm's Haystack Art Event Programme on April the 27th and September the 14th, respectively. The day after the first Haystack Heathrow Author Walk, Catherine Bohm's article, Welcome to Heathrow, A Strange Landscape, Not Just an Airport, was published in The Guardian. The comments reflected on airport expansion, but not the fact that artists were using walks as art practice.
Next day, I woke up to blazing sun. I abandoned my plan to get a taxi to the university, deciding instead to walk. I set off in my solid sole sandals. This is a record of the stark beauty of that day. Abana has sister cities. It has huge, long, wide roads all bisecting in straight lines. It has so much space. It is so much space. I'm walking on the streets of Abana. The water meter is irresistible, and it's from Wabash, Indiana. My father once knew all the 50 states and 50 state capitals. He used to recite them to me. I don't know if he'd remember them now. He's never been to America, and he never will. In Abana, everyone seems to be mowing the lawns that surround their clapboard homes. So this is what clapboard means. Each house is the same but different. The majority are neat, cared for. I find them lovely and somehow humane. Grass meets path. I asked the way and was treated with warmth and humour. You're a long way from home, girl. Illinois was my old university. I was the first in my family to go. I loved it here. She's African-American and maybe in her late 60s.
Mystic ley lines are a retrospective justification, none of the engraftings, not a folkway. Well into the walk there are modes, scoots and trudges circumscribing something extraordinary. Underimagined human geography, a continuous culture, the strata and chronology of cities. A gift for the writer. Beyond that, it's political, a way of defying bottles of wine destroying the spectacle. So go, walk, map the mind of the city, deconstruct the prism of travel.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. If you'd like to know more, visit www.walkingartistnetwork.org.